Welcome to Under the Same Sky. A podcast with honest and inspiring conversations between newcomers. This special episode consists of two parts and is dedicated to the World Refugee Day on the 20th of June. Today we are joined by Aya and Mohammed, two friends from Syria. Mohammed has been in Germany since 2016. He has settled in and is currently studying IT. Aya only arrived last year and is still waiting to get asylum. She has always been very active in the humanitarian sectors and now hopes to finally start her new life in Germany. The two share their insights on friendship and adversity in times of uncertainty.
Ladies first, but I will go first because
we are breaking stereotypes. Okay.
Who are you? And what would you like to, for other people to know about you?
My name is Aya.
Yeah.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm 27 years old, from Aleppo, Syria. I was born in this city and I was raised there, studied there, worked there most of my time. I liked other cultures and new things since I was little, so I started learning Japanese when I was at 10th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Then I studied English literature. I used to volunteer during my university years. I worked as a teacher. I worked with the relief committees.
In Syria, in Aleppo.
In Aleppo, yeah. After that, I got some sort of internship to Damascus to study business management after I graduated.
Mm-hmm.
So I went there and I had new
experiences,
new community. I volunteered in a scout group.
Cool.
I found a job in a humanitarian sector. I got involved so much in the social work. And I was pretty active socially. Yeah.
So, yeah, you said about like scout and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like scout going to the forest and do scamming and stuff.
Yeah.
During like the war and the problems in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
There was stuff like this. Like, because when I was like in Syria, I didn't know like that there is this stuff, you know.
Actually, we used to live in the same city. So in Aleppo city hasn't quite managed to have the scouting meaning.
Mm.
Like, for example, the scouting in Aleppo was they go camping at the same, at the backyard of the church. This
oh,
is
okay.
Where they go scout. So it was a bit not scouting as much
not
as...
Like going to the forest, like
yeah,
in another area.
They used to go some trips, like in the suburb of Aleppo and stuff, but during the war nothing was happening, as you said.
Okay.
Like there was big schools with a very big yards, so they go to it.
So it's like different
there.
Between
yeah
every
but,
city.
Yeah, exactly. But in Damascus, there are more spaces that you can go and
oh,
explore
okay.
there.
Oh,
so okay. And it wasn't only scouting. The group that I was volunteering with, they were very active in the social work.
Mm.
We were working with. We had some sort of movement because during the crisis, people were moving from city to another one. So we had an emergency responses. So we were going to the emergency responses with
mm-hmm.
the help with other organization, providing
cool.
food, shelter and stuff. We had some sort of activities, psychosocial support for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
nice.
It wasn't people misunderstood scouting. Well, like they only go camping, light up a fire and dance around it. They need to be an active person in the community. So they do a lot of stuff
okay.
for the
oh,
community.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. How about you? To think about you.
So I'll start with my name. My name is Mohammed. You can call me Mo because
it's very
it's
unique
easier.
Name, Mohammed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody
like,
is called
it's
Muhammad
the second,
in country.
The second most named name in the whole world.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's okay. I'm popular.
Yeah.
I'm 27 years old. In Syria, I used to study, like I finished my high school and stuff. And then I went to the college. I studied business management. for 2 years, and I studied in the same time. I studied English Arabic translation for 2 years, like better learning. And I also like another cultures and stuff. So I tried to start with the Japanese courses, and I finished the first course, like the first level. But it was like late 2015, and then I left everything there and just started my journey to the.
So studying Japanese made you expand, go to expand the world.
Actually, no, but
The opposite.
the opposite. Because, you know, in Syria, like, you don't have that huge diversity. You don't have, for example, like, when you go to Berlin, you have a lot of people, like, from other cultures and
Yeah,
from
sure,
another.
because it was war, so this is
Yeah,
the
I
point.
know. So,
We had no
like,
tourists, we had no.
because,
Yeah.
So you just had, like, Arabic and English as
Yeah.
languages and stuff like. Learning Japanese and the Japanese center in Aleppo, it was really cool experience because in the middle of everything, there's this unique place that it will make you a little feel a little bit something else. Like,
But you started when there were no Japanese people there.
I know,
Oh.
but the
Oh,
people,
okay.
but the people there who used to learn and study there and like in the Japanese center, they were like. Unique somehow because
They were more open than the other friends that you made in college.
yeah they are still different from the people who just do the normal stuff like in Syria if somebody said I learn Japanese and they were like what why what is this so it was like a really nice experience for me and this was like the closest thing to feel other cultures I mean because even if you If there was no real Japanese people, there's people like who can speak this language and you can hear it from them and you can see them live how they do like sometimes they do festivals and like parties in the center and they are like wearing this Japan
Customs.
customs
Yeah.
and stuff. So it was really cool. That's why I was really excited to do with them like learning and stuff. I couldn't finish my study, my business management or my
Translation.
translation because of war or because of I had to flee. I guess that's me, like a little bit of me, because there are a lot of stuff to talk about, but I will just like stick with the cliche, like who, how and what did you do and
You
stuff.
want to be mysterious.
Not really.
Okay, let's move on to the next question. Why did we become friends?
You
Why?
tell me.
No, you tell me.
Well, it's not really that easy to answer because there's like
Actually,
more.
it's very easy. It's because
I don't know, I
we
just.
were working in the same place. We were volunteering
Yeah, but
in the same
I had a
place.
lot of friends that we were
In
working,
common.
studying and doing voluntary stuff together, but I'm not talking with them anymore. There's always this circle of friends you had. And like in Syria, for me, for example, I was like a little bit different from everybody. I don't want to say it like in an egoistic way. I mean, for example, a lot of people like in Syria in general, like the teenagers and the guys there, they really like to go to smoke shisha in the cafes and watch football and play cards. I hated all of this. I was like more than like
Going to space, maybe?
no not
What?
going to space but
What?
I was like a gamer
Yeah.
and I used to spend all my time on my PC because of this I didn't I had for example like in middle school most of my friends like 9 out of 10 they were like shisha card football guy people and there was like just one had a little bit interest with
Gaming.
gaming or like anime or like Western stuff, you know, movies and stuff, and like I am a friend with the other people, but you
You
know,
don't have the same interests.
yeah. So it was always like a little bit hard if you want to go outside with them, so they have the different
Different.
interests. So the point of all of this, because of this, I had this circle of friends like in high school and stuff. I used to know just a certain kind of people like were interested in the same stuff as I, and then we became like more friends and more friends. And then in college, so I know you through another friend. I didn't know you like in a direct way.
Mm-hmm.
So my friends of mine, they were the friends of yours.
Mm-hmm.
We had the same interests as I, or like as my friends' interests. And because like the same, we listened to the same kind of music, because we had the same kind of interest in, for example, watching anime, playing video games. Mm-hmm. And there's like this stereotype, like a girl who like to play video games, that's like a rare thing mm-hmm. in the whole world, not just like before 10 years. This was like, oh my god, she's a girl and she's playing video games. Oh my god, is this for real? And when I knew that you played video games, I was like, wow. There's like, they exist. And it was really interested to know this about you. And then I was like interested in you, like I should know her, like, and talk with her and stuff. And you were like, you had all the stuff that we as friends, like, and my other friends, like, in the same common stuff that we do. I guess that's how, like, if I wanted to be a friend with someone, I'm not being friend with this person because we work together or something. Yeah. I want to be
you his friend. You need to have a special connection with that person.
Like, even if we, like, for example, if I work with someone and we went out for, like, eating together, or like going to the cafe, or like for a bar, to the bar or something, we don't have something to talk about.
Yeah. Other than work and studying.
So that's why how we became friends. There, all of these conditions were filled, and then the other stuff came, like working together or like be in the same group of friends.
Mm-hmm.
I really made it complex, but
no, it's pretty clear.
That's why we became friends. What about you?
Actually, your words remind me of something recently I was suffering from. As you know, that you left Syria in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
I chose to stay, even though the situation was not that good. And even though that I always dreamed to travel outside and explore the world, but I felt that I need to stay. And it wasn't that dangerous for me as a guy.
Mm-hmm.
So recently I was working, I had a lot of friends, I had a lot of people, but they were all work friends
mm-hmm.
and people that I helped, people that who helped me. So it wasn't that,
you know,
deep really, connection that you had. So I remember that day very much. So I was talking to my friend and I started crying. I told him I don't have much friends anymore, and he was shocked. He said, "You literally know everything in Syria, everybody, okay. everything, every single person in Syria. They are your friends. How come it's not your? They're not your friends." I told him, "It's they're not like the real friends that you talk everything about, like friends in work that you just talk about work."
Yeah.
So, what you said made it very clear, actually. And why you especially, I remember, as you said, as you talked about yourself, you were that unique guy when I first met. It wasn't that guy that have this kind of interest and that sticks to this circle of people. Like, we have this in all universities all around the world, or in all the social events. Some people just find the people that they're the same with and stick with them. So you were just open to everyone. So you, as you said, you weren't that shisha guy or this playing card guy, but you used to go and play with them and spend time with them. Yeah. You don't say, "No, I'm not that guy, I won't do that." So you were open for all of this stuff.
Yeah,
this
I
is
could
what
do
I like
everything.
The most. Yeah, you just go you go with the flow. You go wherever. Yeah. So it was so cool. You were funny, actually. It was a good thing because it was very hard to find.
But I used to say really bad jokes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, they were very bad. I guess, I don't know. They're so bad, they're good, you know? I don't know.
Should I say one?
No, please. So, yeah, I guess not only common interests or these things that you said, it's the only connection between us and that made our friendship on the long term, or still long till now, and nobody knows when it'll end. But it's quite interesting, the things that you said.
What is your favorite memory of me?
Actually, I was just thinking about it right now, because I remembered how we became friends. It was the exact this moment. We weren't that friends, actually. I met you once, or I don't even know your first name, because a lot of Muhammads, so we don't call Muhammads anymore. We call by the last name. Yeah. So I just know your last name. And we were waiting for our friend, our mutual friend, to come over.
Yeah,
we
he was standing, like late.
Yeah.
And then we were standing like,
in front
hey.
Of the place that we
And
were.
There was like this awkward moment.
Yeah, so
coming.
We were standing and we were staring at the place that we want to enter there, and we stopped. But we're waiting for our friend to come over, so we were like this, and then you said, "Hey, you like stuff?" And I was like,
"What?
What? What stuff? Yes, I like stuff. Yeah, they're cool
Good.
Stuff.
Cool.
Yeah." And then he came finally, and we said, "Thank God he came." So yeah, it was. And it became an inside joke after that with all.
Yeah, I mean, like I really tried always like to destroy the awkwardness.
Yeah.
Even with the silly jokes or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it works sometimes, and sometimes like,
it did,
my God, who is this creep?
So what about you?
So there's a lot of my favorite memories of you and everybody, because I really have this problem to have a favorite thing. Because, you know, when you say, what's your favorite movie? And I was like,
you can't just pick one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what is the first thing that occurred to your mind immediately?
But what I really like, and it was like really good experience, and was really a good memory when we went all like together to cook in our friend's house, and you wanted to cook a Japanese food for us. You said, "Oh yeah, come, we can go, we can do it." Like for us, like a Oriental society, or like it's not common that a group of friends from females,
boys and girls,
like meet in some house or something. This is like weird or like really not common. And I was really excited because we did this, and then we cooked together, and we did all the stuff that normal people in Syria don't do.
It wasn't that common.
Yeah, and I was really happy because you, like, for people, and we were like teenagers, and like there's a lot of teenagers who don't know how to cook or like how to prepare
a
meat. A fest, yeah. And then you were like there, like, and you did five sorts of stuff, things, of food, and you saying, "Yeah, we do this, we do this."
Yeah.
And you were like doing like everything enjoyable, and like, and you were giving us tasks. You do the carrots, you do the
team leader.
Yeah, I know.
I was born as a
kid. And you were like really entertaining. You said, "Yeah, we will put now music and stuff," and we were like work all together, and you were like coordinating everything, and then the food was really, wow, the best food I've ever ate in my life, like the Japanese food. You did the okonomiyaki and the origami stuff.
Onigiri. Origami is papers. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Oh my God. Guys, I know about the Japanese stuff.
Yeah, this is a joke from your silly jokes.
And it was like, you did a really a great atmosphere, and this was like my favorite moment, because you single-handedly did a good food, did a good gathering. I mean, this is I always think about this when there's like when I hear a name, I think that was like the best times.
Thank you.
Welcome.
What were your expectations when you came to Germany? Have any of your expectations been met yet? Or
okay, this is a little bit deep.
Yeah.
Question?
Dive.
So I had a lot of expectations, and some of them were really what I thought, and some of them was like, oh, this is like really there's this stuff in here, and sometimes I got like completely disappointed. So for example, like when we say Germany all over the world, you know, like this is like one of the advanced countries in the world. Like it's not like Turkey, it's not like Italy, it's not like China, it's Germany, you know.
How?
I mean, when you live in Syria or like you live in Africa or in Asia, you hear Germany and you know like some advanced country with like advanced everything there is like good, and this is like Germany is like one of the there's a like aliens, they will look on at us, and they will see like, and we like as oh my God, I'm doing it really complex. So, and and like we have to offer something as a humanity. We say, yeah, we have the best thing, like Germany, Japan, Canada, like they are like the best countries in a many fields. So my expectations was really high. Like when I came to Germany, the first thing that caught me totally off guard and like I was like really shocked of the bureaucracy. I was like, wow. When I entered Germany, like in my first 2 weeks, I got like so much papers, like
yeah,
it's unbelievable.
So
for everything you do, you get like two or three papers, like with half of the gazettes.
Oh my God, you're not knowing the word in English.
I forgot the
oh,
word
sorry.
In English. The law, they give you a lot of papers, like for everything you do, like if you go from this room to this room, you get a whole paper and somebody should write something on it. So the whole process was like just so much and meaningless at the same time. I understand like there should be standards and there should be protocols.
But it could be easier or smarter.
And there's some people who, if you are a refugee, so you have to go to, you start in a camp, and then when you are in a camp, you feel like, okay, I'm in the camp, and I will be, for example, out of the camp a couple of weeks, because you can get out of the camp, get an apartment, and then you can start looking for a job or like start studying or something.
Like you study your life.
Like you start my life again, you know. But in Germany, when you go to the camp, you need like at least 1.5 years to start something, like not just learning the language, you have like start an actual job or start an actual studying.
And it depends
thing.
You don't know, like nobody tells you when it's going to end, and
yeah, like, and there's like a lot of fog things, you know.
Yeah,
like
nobody knows the answer of it.
When I was in the camp beginning of 2016, so there was like the refugee crisis was at its peak. And there was like a lot of people, and we were like in the camp for 7 months. And some people, we used to live in rooms with, and like, and these rooms, they don't have walls, like they're just like a curtain as a door. And there was like wood walls around the room, and there's like 12 beds in the room. So there was no privacy, and it was like everything was like really seemed out of control.
Yeah.
I don't blame anyone. It was
it's
like
a crisis,
you know?
Yeah.
But the whole process took really long, and it was like, you know, every time I think about it, there was like so much bureaucracy, but at the same time, bureaucracy cannot help against crisis.
Yeah.
For example, coronavirus.
Yeah.
Until the people, like the country started
to take some efficient actions. Yeah,
it was already too late. Like for example, in Italia, they were like a little bit too late, and they were like, we can't say it for the people. No, you should stay home because there's like stuff and the law will be against that and stuff. So it was not efficient. And what happened, like for the people in the camps, they were like, oh, we need to start work, we need to start to do something. And they were just like, they couldn't do anything, and they just had to stay in the camp doing nothing, like just wake up, eat, and then sleep. When I came to Germany, I was like really excited. I will just come to Germany, start a life, and just, you know, go and be innovative or something. Just to try to fulfill my dreams. Like, I can now study there, whatever I want.
To be on the path that you're...
Yeah, but sadly you can't be directly on your path.
Yeah.
You have to minimum 2 years of preparing to be on your path.
Yeah. I mean,
this is not negative. This is how it is. This is how it works.
Yeah. So this was opposite of your expectations. What
like
you,
yeah,
like some
it,
sort of
it really took a long time until I started to do something. Like for example, I'm studying IT now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in my third year, but it took me a little bit time until I started doing this, actually.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, there's a lot of ways that we can accelerate this stuff or like do this stuff faster so that people can integrate faster and people can do what they want faster.
Mm-hmm.
But with the bureaucracy and the lack of workers in the social field, it really
made it harder.
Made it harder.
And waste of time sometimes.
Yeah, like for example, I wanted to know, like when I went out of the camp, and I was like living in a small apartment with somebody else, I didn't know what should I do next.
Yeah.
That's like,
you don't have a clear idea.
Yeah. Or like, I could do some stuff as I was in the camp, but I didn't do it, like for example, start my German courses.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do it because I didn't know that I could do it.
Yeah.
You know? The expectations that they were really in their places, like for example, in Syria, if you don't work or you don't have work or you don't have money, you're just like, you end in the streets. But in Germany, there's like a lot of programs that you don't end up in the street. So the government can provide you a house, provide you with a...
Help you just to stay
on a safe land and not just live in the streets.
Yeah.
Like if you are like studying something or like working something and then your work is just gone, you don't go just live in the streets. Like they will help you, and that's really a good thing, because you feel always like every time when, like all the time when I was like in Germany, I felt safe, financially safe. I had a house, living under a roof.
Your basic needs were fulfilled.
Yeah, that's right. Like my basic needs, like they were all fulfilled, and they were like, I didn't have to worry about this stuff. I just had to worry about going forward. You know, like if you want to work and you want to be something in Germany, you could really doing it easy.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you want, even if you want to be an astronaut,
like,
you don't have
like
limits in Germany. If you want this thing, you can do it, whatever it is. You can be an astronaut. It's, if you work on it, you can be this. And that's what I really liked about this. They will help you to reach your goal.
Mm-hmm.
But bureaucracy and a lot of processes,
they make you lose your passion.
Yeah, they make me really lose my passion. Like, this is the problem. This is what I didn't accept. For example, I really hate when, like, for me as a refugee, I couldn't speak German, so I had to speak English. It's like a universal language. So I feel like there's a lot of people, they can speak English, but they don't want to speak English because you have to speak German. Like, what? I just came. I can speak German. I'm learning it.
Yeah. You can't just learn a language like this.
Yeah. And even German. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's very easy, you know?
When you talk about people, like certain people, you don't say like they're all this. There's a huge mix. So there was like a lot of people who were like really nice and really like they were like the best people I've ever met. They did stuff for me like that was really heartwarming and stuff. And there was like sometimes they were like, wow, did you really just do this? Like racist kind, and there's like the ununderstanding kind. Like, for example, when I call a worker and I want to ask him for something, they said, no, I don't speak English in English.
How come you don't speak English and you're speaking?
Okay.
There are some people who really don't speak English, but they try to
put some words or
movements just to...
To speak with you.
Yeah, just to help you. Yeah.
So that's one of my disappointment. But the good stuff is way more than the bad stuff. I just wanted to be clear with everything.
Your expectations were all positive. So when you find the negative one, you just highlight.
In general, I'm really thankful for being here. And I'm really happy that I could do whatever I want. Because in Syria, you have just like 3 ways max. But here in Germany, you can do whatever you want. And you have free speech. You have free of whatever the hell you want.
From my side, I can't actually speak that much because you're for quite time here, but I'm new. I'm just like 5 months or so.
Mm.
But as you said, our expectations always to be like Germany is the most powerful country, like great economy and stuff. And as a European country, you just expect that if you go with English language, that you can communicate, and you have this shock that
mm-hmm.
I can't.
You can start your life, like you can start up.
Yeah, And actually, my experiences are just a bit similar to yours. I came here, I used to be a very, let's say, active person back in Syria. I used to have a lot of communications. I had a very strong, let's say, career. Mm-hmm. So I came here with some sort of great expectations, because I used to work in the humanitarian sector, and as you know that Germany is very famous for the humanitarian work, so I was like, okay, I'll come here, I'll just, as you said, I stay in a camp for a couple months, and then I'll just go and work and study the language.
Start your life and help and be
and
functional
just, and
person
and
the society.
Get engaged to the society. First of all, this is actually, I don't know, it's a personal thing. I wasn't quite planning to be in Germany. As you said, it was a crisis, and I got out of Syria in a very bad condition, so it wasn't my plan to be here. So if I knew, I would start learning German since then. So I studied Japanese since I was 10th grade. Have I been to Japan? No. So I like to study language. I really want to speak to you in German, but I didn't know that I'll be here.
Yeah.
I'm in a very bad condition now. I'm totally depressed. I had a lot of problems now. It's 2020. Everything is going down, like coronavirus, World War III. Like, everything is bad, and you want me to learn German now? Like, it was very bad for me.
Yeah,
because you don't
everything
have...
what happened at the same time.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's all connected to my visit here to Germany.
Yeah, I mean, I know, like, you had to go out of Syria, like, you didn't plan for this, and then you were, like, in Spain doing something, and then you couldn't go back to Syria because of problems. You got, like, problems because you were, like, in Spain with somebody who was against the government, and you couldn't go back, and then you didn't know what to do, then you came to your sister in Austria, and then you didn't know if you have to stay there or just come to Germany because they are bitter with some stuff.
Yeah, the only reason that made me come to here, as you said, I had no family here. I had no one, but I had a sister in Austria, but I went there and I just said, as I searched a lot and talked to my friends, Germany was the best country for me, considering my pathway, my passion, my career. So,
like, humanitarian
Yeah,
stuff,
exactly.
Yeah.
And for me, the thing that really made me to decide why Germany, because I really wanted to learn, like, the German language with the German society. Like, they do speak German in
Austria,
but
it's not like in
Yeah,
German.
It's a bit different. It's like the Middle East. We all speak Arabic, but each Arabic is different from the other. So I really wanted to go to the main place.
Okay.
Like, if you want to, for example,
in Austria, they speak German for a long time, so it's not really German, the main place. But here they speak it, like, with less dialect.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The classical German.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to go to the source. Like, I wanted to go to the place that everything is moving forward, that I can find myself there in this society.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I came here. It wasn't planned, as I said. So I haven't much expectations, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The only expectations that I had that I learn the language quickly, I get engaged in the social work and stuff. As I told you, unfortunately, everything went down. Coronavirus came. I don't know. I couldn't start any language courses. I got rejected and deported. I don't know. Everything was bad. So I don't know what to do anymore. So
you didn't get deported. You get deportation.
Deportations.
Letter.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know if I'm going to stay here in Germany. Are they going to allow me to stay here? So, or they're going to send me back? Or am I going to have a career here or not?
Yeah, everything
so,
is like...
And you don't have any motivation to do anything. And as you said, the life in the camp is very messy and very...
It's very
uncertain.
Random and...
Yeah, you just wake up, you have food. It's really... Actually, it's... For me, I felt like an animal. Like, you just go, they open the cage for you, you enter, you take your food, just go out. Because they started a language course one day a week, like, and I just went there and they were learning the alphabets today. I was like, wow, okay, I guess three more years I would know how to speak some words. So it was, it yeah, wasn't because, that we're, yeah, we're not all the same.
The,
okay, some
the
people
problem is
this.
The problem is that good amount of people that they don't know anything about the Latin words.
Yeah, but as I said,
I know.
I used to work in education sector. So we can just, not all people are the same, so we can divide them to two groups.
So there was like this photo on the internet, and there was a fish,
yeah,
animals and stuff, and they are all...
A fish and a monkey and an elephant, and the teacher is telling me, just go and climb the tree.
Yeah.
And they all, they don't have the same ability.
That's what what's happening in a camp. For you, you have a, you finished your college, you had a diploma, you had a experience in many fields. You can't just start with the alphabet. And you really have to work hard to do what you want.
Yeah.
You know, for example, for me, it was really hard to not to just go the same way as the other, like to spend 2 years of your life just learning German. And I just want like 7-8 months. Like I just needed the whole high level courses to to do this. I was a little bit lucky because of my current job, because I had a friends and they helped me a lot, German friends, not like the social workers, like, because I knew what I want and they knew what I want, and then they really helped me point.
They know you as your person, they didn't know you as a refugee.
Yeah.
They didn't limit you to answer.
Right. And it's really hard to meet these people, special people, and give you the
guidance.
The special guidance you want, especially in a small cities or villages, and everything is different there because there is the capacity of work, the organizations and stuff, it's completely different from the bigger cities. It's not like the same.
Actually, as you mentioned, you came in a time that it was more complicated. Comparing the time that you came and the time that I came, it actually evolved. It was better than the time that you came.
Yeah,
as you
I
said,
mean,
it wasn't that
fast.
Actually, it wasn't that fast. But I had some sort of like what's going to happen next for the first, let's say, months, that I had some papers. Like now you're in this phase, you're going to this phase, you'll have your interview. After that, you may, after maybe 3 months, you maybe can join the Deutsch course, or you can start asking the social worker that's responsible of you that you need to work. So I was happy when I found this. After that, we came back to this vague things. Like I went to ask the social worker, like, okay, I've been here for 3 months. Can I do something, or can I work? Can I do the language course or something? As you said, the bureaucracy, and there are some things that really that made me lose my mind, like the employee just have these three instructions, that you talk to them and ask them something. They say, no, I stick to this, some sort of three instructions that I have. But you communicate with them, like, if you do this, it might lead to this, so it might work. So they think that you're saying correctly, like you're speaking in the right way. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But they say, no, I just, it's not written in my book.
I just know this, that
is honest. Yeah, I just know how to do this. I can do, I don't know if it's allowed or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the expectation that really happened is, as I told you, I chose Germany, and I'm here because my interest in working in the humanitarian field is actually my passion. So I'm very happy that I found this opportunity to work with a humanitarian organization, to be back to voluntary work, because it's really helping. I didn't get it through the social work or anything. It was through my lawyer. When he found out that I used to work in a humanitarian agency and I have my university degree, he said, "Oh, you can
do better things.
So he said, maybe I can connect you with this person and you'll do."
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a great offer.
Imagine, like, I speak English and you speak English, and me and you, as a open-minded person, or like a person who were used to had a lot of knowledge about Western culture. Like, for example, I could, like, I had easily a German friend just because we had a lot of common stuff.
People think that times when you're very different culture, you don't have things in common.
Yeah, like, through these people, I could do the stuff I want, like my current study thing and stuff. But imagine if one of my Paul and Shisha watching friends came to here and they were like in my days, like when I was a teenager, they used to hate like everything about English, like, oh, I don't want to see the English movies or like the American movies and or play games. It's like just for kids. They wanted to do their culture thing, and then they just came here. It's like,
it's a brand new culture.
Everything is different, and they couldn't really integrate. They are alone.
It won't be convenient for both sides, like for the people that are new here and for the people
who was trying to help them.
Help them.
Can't find a solution for that. Like, if I thought about it, like, how could this person can talk with this person without language or without like basic understanding of what do I want and what does she want.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a major problem.
Yeah.
Thank you, Aya and Mohammed, for allowing us to take part in your conversation. We are curious what part two will bring us. Stay tuned and click to listen to part two to not miss out on anything.
Bis zum nächsten Mal. See you next time.
إلى اللقاء.